Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. Right now, I'm the only one here. I'm broadcasting from my bright red desk on a very cold night in New York. It is Wednesday, January 6th. Happy New Year. We're back, but we're not all here yet. So hopefully everybody tunes in. Heather and Mark will be joining me shortly. And what we're going to do is we talk about what's going on in the world and what's going on in your charts. We take calls from listeners, and we have a big week this week. So we're between the Mercury retrograde and the Jupiter retrograde. So yesterday, Mercury stationed to go retrograde in Capricorn. And tomorrow, Jupiter's going to station to go retrograde in Virgo. Both of these are big. We like, we like retrogrades because what they do is they remind us we can't always go forward. Sometimes we have to go back and clean up stuff, clean up the situations, figure out what's going on, help ourselves work with it in a slightly different way. And retrogrades invite us to reverse, to redo, do all R-E words, redo, reverse, revise, re-edit, rework, and that's what they're there for. They're the re-words to help us really deeply connect and fix things that need to be fixed. So they're helpful for that repurpose, and they also remind us, ask us to pay attention, ask us to mind our things. In the planets that they're in, they remind us to pay attention. Okay, so in this case, Mercury is the Virgos and the Geminis all get bollocksed up, and the rest of us all have I'm a Virgo, but the rest of us have communication snafus and situations that go a little wild. And the Jupiter retrograde affects the Pisces and the Sages, and it says, because that's Jupiter rules those two signs, traditional rulers as well as modern. Don't forget your traditional rulers. Those of you going, wait, I thought Neptune was ruled by Pisces. Yes, it was, but until the 1800s when Neptune was discovered, Jupiter ruled Pisces. The ocean and the sky, the two biggest things we got, Jupiter rules them. So he's in Virgo, and he's going to go backwards. And he stops on the north node of fate. This is really important. The north node of fate is where we get tied into our destiny and where we get asked to work our path. It is our path in our natal chart. It's the path that we walk in this life. It's the calling that our universe has for us. It's the calling our soul said we wanted to do. It is often one of the most important parts of the chart. There are astrologers who simply read the north node and nothing else. And they talk to you about the path of the node. Because we come in on that node, our south node is our past lives that we're bringing in with us, and the north node is where we're supposed to go in this life. It acts as an axis. A lot of times people say, oh, don't do your south node, but actually you really have to feed your south node, otherwise it gets very, very hungry and a little lonely if it's not being fed properly. So we have to feed that south node and then kind of use it as a little footstool to jump into the north node. Now, when a planet goes on the north node, it's a big deal because the planet invites us in, right? It meets the north node. It meets its fate. So Jupiter coming to the north node and literally parking on it for basically a month and a half, because Jupiter's going to go backwards, and, of course, the node goes backwards. So the two of them are going to travel together really until the middle of February. I like a two-degree separation. And these guys are working together for the next month and a half. We're all going to be asked to work on our fate, what our fate is, where we're supposed to be, what is our fated path. And because it's in the sign of Virgo, it's the sign of service, we're going to be asked to assess our work in the world. Wherever house you have Virgo in, and sometimes it's in two houses, so let's say it's got 12 on one edge of one house, it's got 12 degrees in the house before and 12 degrees in the house after. So, or 18 degrees in the house after. So we watch the Virgo house because that's where you routinely serve the world. That's where your habits take place and help the world. So you want to look at that Virgo house. And in that house is where Jupiter's stopping, going to go backwards, going to invite everybody to go backwards in time, connect on a deeper level, connect in with the service, the heart, the point of connection with the soul. The south node, of course, is in Pisces right now. So it's where we're not supposed to sacrifice ourselves anymore. South node always invites the sacrifice or invites us to maybe hang out a little long because it's the south node. It's where we're supposed to dawdle. So no feeling like a victim, no whining and complaining, lower form Pisces. Avoid the drugs and alcohol, lower form Pisces, and work on the creative spirit, work on the dream. Go find the Neptune in your chart. Go find the Jupiter in your chart because Jupiter rules the south node natally. And it comes forward to the north node. So it's taking the gifts from your past lives, incarnations, and it's bringing them forward to help you understand the service path in this lifetime. Very powerful. When Jupiter stops in stations to go retrograde, what he does is he invites us in, and he says to us, I'm going to introduce you to a bunch of people. So I want you to carry a big set of cards around with you, or a pen and paper, and when you meet someone, get their number and give them your card or get their card because this is a very important connection time for all of us. We're all going to be connecting on that north node. We're going to be pulling in people that say, this is the direction I want you to head in. This is what I want you to do. This is the path of service. This is where you need to go. And Jupiter on the north node has a very strong energy around how do I get there, how do I serve, how do I create, how do I do the work. And it is the work in the world. The Virgo house is the part where we chop wood and carry water was the name of that book. It's where we do the dishes. It's where we do the chart, the daily activities of our lives that create the reality, where we get up every morning and we clean the sink or we scoop the cat litter. It's where we brush our teeth. It's our habits. So Jupiter on the north node is asking us to come up with some new habits. He's inviting us to habitualize or to retrograde, revise our habits, redo our habits, re-energize our habits, re-edit, re-change, whatever, however you want to look at it. Change the habits, the routines that we use that create the life we have. And the reason we're changing those? Well, we have this big old T-square that we're working with for this whole year, and the T-square is in mutable signs, and mutable signs ask us to change. And they don't get there directly. They kind of meander. They go a little to the left. They go a little to the right. They don't go up and down. They kind of, the road that they travel is a long and winding road, as the Beatles would say. And the idea of this energy of Jupiter in Virgo is to say to us, gee, what would your ideal work look like? What would your ideal life look like? What would your day look like? What's that vision? And Jupiter on the north node invites changes. It also invites us to let go, because the south node's there, and release things and say, I don't think I want that. I think I want this. So there's a very strong energy with that energy of the Jupiter stationing on the node. And then, of course, a couple days ago, Mercury stationing retrograde. Now, interestingly, Jupiter and Mercury are in a trine to each other. So Mercury in Cap, he's in Aquarius, but he's going to retrograde back into Cap next week. He's going to be tracking with Jupiter and Virgo. So the two of them are going to be feeding each other. They're going to be saying, you know who you really should talk to? And so there's this whole pattern of connection that's going to be going on for the next month and a half to get you ready for your new life or the next chapter of your existing life. You don't have to give up your whole life. You just have to think about where you want to make a commitment to build a structure, where your dream wants to expand, where your life wants to expand. And that's the space you want to work in, because that's the space of change. So very important. Then the other thing we have this week is on the weekend, on Saturday night, 8:30, we have a new moon in Capricorn. And the new moon in Capricorn is a big one because it involves the Mercury retrograde in Cap. It involves Pallas Athena in Cap. It involves Pluto in Cap. It involves the Sun and Venus in Cap. It involves the Sun and the Moon in Cap. And Venus is just past Saturn in Sag. So Capricorn rules that moon, answers to Saturn. Saturn and Venus are joined. very powerful moon for initiation, for manifestation. It's going to take place at 19 degrees of Capricorn. It takes place at 8:30 at night Eastern time, so adjust for your local. I've been saying on my regular radio show, not this one, the one I do on Sunday nights at 6:30, it's the moon you want to do your New Year's resolutions on, okay? Because the resolutions are going to be very potent if they take place on the new moon. And they're going to have a lot to say that new moon has. And the Cappy energy is always about restructuring. And because Mercury is in the sign of brilliance, it's really smart. And it's really working with us to help us see, and with Pallas Athena and Pluto together, helping us see the patterns that contribute to the situations we want in our life, or perhaps more importantly, the situations we don't want in our lives. And if we change the patterns, we change our life. That's how it works. Journey of 1,000 miles begins with a step. And our job is with this new moon in Cap is to really kind of hone in on what we want. So even though January 1st is like just a day, we say New Year's resolutions, the reason we like resolutions is Capricorns means we're going to keep the commitment. And we're going to commit. Capricorn's commitment sign. It's the sign of the rock. So if we commit under Capricorn, we are encouraged to keep our vows. Now, this particular new moon, Sun, Moon, and Pluto, Lord of the Underworld, after his long journey with Uranus over the last couple of years, where he's been getting clear on abuse of power and power, combined with Pallas Athena, the goddess who sees things, who really is very crystal clear, combined with Mercury and the Moon and the Sun, it's a powerful, potent little pot of energy, potent pot of energy, I like that, at the top of the chart or the bottom of the chart or wherever you have Capricorn 19 in your chart. So take time, sit down, do a ritual. I'll be talking about this on my radio show on Sunday, about the ritual to do for people. When they hang up from the radio show, they'll go do it if they haven't done it yet. But on the new moon, which is Saturday night, or on Sunday sometime, you can do it, like when it's a little tiny crescent because the stuff's still growing, but allow that energy to really grow and allow yourself to really go, okay, now I'm looking forward to creating on this new moon. So Mercury retrograde, and then the new moon, Jupiter stationing on the north node of fate in Virgo, saying careful, careful, backwards, backwards, we're going to go work on stuff. And Jupiter, of course, is going backwards for a while. He goes backwards until the middle of May, actually May 9th, where he stops at 13 and goes forward again. So this is a period of time for redoing the Sag energies in our chart and the Pisces energies in our chart. Those areas of our chart are going to want to change. The other couple features of this week are Venus squaring Neptune, which happened yesterday, Tuesday. And so that's a lot about seeing something clearly that you hadn't seen before. And once you see it, again, once you see things, you can't go back. It's like you see it and you go, wow, I saw that. And everybody goes, yeah. And you go, wow, you know, what does that mean? That means it's important. Pay attention to it. Mercury squaring Mars. You might be a little cranky. That's okay. No worries. Sun joins Pluto, making important decisions about how we're going to proceed. That all happened yesterday, what we're going to commit to. And then later in the week, tomorrow, we have Sun join Uranus at 7:22 in the morning. Sun square Uranus, rather, at 7:22. So remember, this whole thing of Uranus and Pluto that have been squaring each other for the last few years, this week the Sun sets them off. Now, this is the last hurrah for these guys, meaning, you know, they've separated, and they're not ever getting together again for another 30 years. But this is when the Sun says, hey, remember what we did? And Uranus goes, I remember. And Pluto goes, yeah, you know, it was fun. So this week it's a lot of memories. Of course, with Mercury retrograde, your ghosts come back. People that you from your past come back. People that you haven't talked to in a while return. And then on the 8th, before the new moon in Cap, Mercury goes into Capricorn, backwards, retrograde, and Venus joins with Saturn on Friday. And then we have that lovely new moon. And, of course, the moon in Capricorn is going to join with Pluto and join with the Sun. And then forward we go into the next week, into the new year, into abundance, change, and creation. Big creation year. again, still endings, because we're working with those mutable signs, which are when the seasons end and they change into a new season. But remember, for every ending, a new beginning. So don't take them personally. I mean, obviously, some of them you're going to take personally, but try to understand them as ending. The time for it is finished. It's time to go. It's okay for it to leave. And, of course, season endings imply new beginnings. So our job is to go forward with those new beginnings. So if you'd like to call and you have a question, the guest call-in is 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. I think I'm the only one here today, so I will take a caller. Somebody just hung their hand up. Okay, and we'll go with 585, if I can get this to work. It's Mercury retrograde after all. 585-613, you're on the air. How can I help?
Hi, Ann. It's Wendy in Rochester. How are you?
Hi, Wendy in Rochester. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. It's February 14th, coming up on another birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon, not quite, but it's within sight, right?
Right, close enough for government work. We count it. So February
exactly.
14th. What's the coordinates for our astrology listeners who pull these charts up eagerly?
1951, Chicago, yep. Illinois.
Chicago, a beautiful town. And what time?
9:06 a.m.
9:06 a.m. And now you are a Rochester gal. And what is your question, Miss Wendy?
I'd like to chat some more about the nodes of fate, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Okay. I'm having a nodal reversal at 19. I think
mm-hmm.
Jupiter's in the mix, and I
mm-hmm.
believe it's pretty exact around the spring eclipse.
It is right on the spring eclipse, which is also on your Mars and your Venus and your Jupiter. Okay, so everybody know, first up, what a nodal reversal is. That means Wendy has her north node in Pisces, 19 Pisces, and her south node in 19 Virgo. And right now, the north node is in Virgo, and the south node is in Pisces. So the two of them come together, and they look like a couple of magnets. And actually, nodal reversals act like magnets, giant magnets in our sun, in our charts, where whoosh, somebody comes in, and we go, wow, where'd you come from? And they come in like a rocket. I find nodal reversals are perhaps one of the most potent astrological phenomena there is, because you can't miss them. They show up, and you go, wow, where did you come from? And they're gonna hit. They're big. Now, I use a true node.
When will the orbs start?
I like orbs of 10, so you're already feeling it, but I like a tight orb for it showing up. It would be 2. Would be any time from March. Actually, it looks like February. Any time from February 3rd on. But it's tight. Yeah, it's big. And then the eclipse, of course, is going to be at 18 Pisces, right on your guy. Now, you had this, this is a phenomena for you anyway, because your Mars and your Venus are all on the north node of fate. So your chart gets led places, essentially. I always talk to people with eclipses that they have a bigger job. The lights go on, the lights go off, and it kind of wakes up their chart. And, it's kind of a cosmic wake-up call. Now, in this case, the nodes are going to be on your nodes, and you're going to have an eclipse hit them. So you're going to have, like, some kind of cosmic wake-up call. And that's that first week in March when the eclipse happens at 18. But also, Jupiter's right there at 18, opposite the eclipse point, and it's right on your south node. So Jupiter natally rules your ninth house and your eighth house, and it rules your 12th house. So it's a lot about your spiritual path and your belief system, certainly. You do work in nonprofits or in service-oriented professions, depending on which profession we're talking about with you. I know Wendy from before, but she does nonprofit, works in hospitals, works in hospice, 12th house, all that stuff. And so the Pisces piece is going to be very interesting because it starts a new 19-year cycle, the eclipse does. So if we go back 19 years to the spring of 2000 or spring of 1997, what was going on then, and then the spring of 1978 and what was going on then, it's a similar story. But the nodal reversal adds a kick to it, because the nodal reversal says go back 9 years in 9 year increments instead of the full 18. Do 9, 18, 27, 38 or 36 or whatever, 38. 9 and 9 is 18. Yeah, 38 years. And so big. Now in your case, because the south node's in Virgo, that's the sign of service, and the north node is in Pisces, which is the sign of spiritual freedom through service. And of course, your Venus, Mars, and Jupiter are all on your north node. So your chart is often frequently called to be in service of some sort of a spiritual nature, or of a caretaking nature, or of a humanitarian nature, or of a lot of times Pisces help people with their transitions. Even though we think of Scorpios as doing that, Pisces often are there at the beginning or the ends of things. So they're often doulas, you know, they're midwives, they're hospice workers, they're people that help with that ending process. Or
right.
End of an old
and,
life.
You know,
in the beginning
and that
of
part
new.
Of my mm-hmm. chart, I feel like I've done, I mean, there's always room for improvement, but I feel like I've done a pretty good job of.
Totally.
It's the personal part. I mean, this is Mars and Venus. These are my, and you know, my the core of my personality, my sun, my Mercury in Aquarius in the 11th. I mean, I picture, but what I don't have, and especially these days of late, is I don't have that person. Where do I get to have a personal life? And, you know, and this is a question that I've been pondering for a while, and I keep looking
right.
at my chart and going, where is my personal life? Where are my close friends? Where did they go? And where do I go to find them again?
Nursing homes. No, I think what, sorry, I just, I'm like, they're all in the nursing home. What can I say? Or they're in the hospital.
Okay.
And they're on the ashram. You know, it isn't, and again, not that you're not, you know, you have a very 10, 11, 12 house orientation, which is a being
yeah.
greater community to the service to the world. And you're an Aquarius sun, which is a lot about, you know, working for the greater good of groups. And you have Saturn in the sixth, so you got a prodigious work ethic. And you have the moon in Gemini. As long as it's an interesting conversation, you're there. And I think what's happening now, you know, is, okay, what do I want to do next with my next chapter? And we have to add in your progressed sun is right at the, you know, going to throw in a little progressions here. Your progressed sun's right at the end of Aries. And it's about
yeah.
to go into Taurus. And Taurus is
yeah.
like, you know, I kind of want to sit on the couch and, you know, or I want to connect on a I want to build something where I get to settle down rather than running around all the time. So you've been running around for 29 years, and your chart's like, I kind of want to hang out on the couch. And with your progressed moon in the sixth in Libra, it's really yearning for a relationship or connection. It doesn't not that it doesn't have relationship, because there isn't a place you go where you're not going to make a friend. That's how your chart works. But with the moon in Libra, it's kind of like, but I want my friends to come to my couch. You know, I want to kind of know, I want them to come to my house instead of me always going and finding them. And
yeah,
so as the progressed
absolutely.
Moon, yeah, as the progressed moon leaves the sixth and goes into the seventh, that brings in a whole new 14-year cycle of relationships, because the moon has been below the horizon for 14 years. And so when it rises above it and gets out of the sixth house of work and the progressed sun goes into Taurus, I think you enter a whole more relationship-based time, because you're now running a Taurus sun being answered to by Venus, run by Venus. And, of course, your progressed Venus is in Taurus and the other one's in Gemini. Your solar arc's in Taurus and the secondary progressed is in Gemini. So the chart's in the mood now to connect on a deeper level. And, of course, when we're at the end of a cycle, 29 years of Aries, you go, you know, I've run around a lot. I've done a lot of stuff. What have I not done? And for all of us, that's the question with this mutable T-square. What have I not done that I still want to do? What's my leftover dream? Not even leftover. What's the dream unfulfilled?
Mm-hmm.
I've got my time coming on Earth. You know, you're not young, but you're not old. But I'm, you know, I'm healthy. I want to maybe travel. What have I not done that's left on my dream list? What was the dream when you were 19? Because that's where Neptune is. What was the dream, the hope in your heart? And if everybody looks at their Neptune and what the dream was when you were that age, what was the dream? And what hasn't happened? And where do you have to go to find it? So I would think to you, the moon, as it goes through this next through six to eight months, as it hits your Neptune, you're going to find your dream, or you're going to find something that's a little more reasonably close to your dream. But I think that's part of the journey that we're all on right now, is with the T-square asking us, nice life, you know, some stuff could change, but what's the dream? And not to give up on the dream, but it might be needing to be modified.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Make sense?
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you
so question
much.
On that? No?
No, whenever I think about my Progress Sun going into Taurus, I think about Jeff Jower as a Taurus who used to talk about, you know, bring me another sandwich on the couch.
I personally prefer chocolate and Prosecco, but, you know, whatever. I will warn you that Progress Taurus also has a thing for jewelry. Okay, so you need to watch out. When my stuff changed into Taurus, I'm like, what the heck is with me and this jewelry? I would go out, and like it would call me from the window because it's Taurus. I want to bedeckle my neck or bedazzle my neck. So it's very much it is bring me another, but it doesn't have to be a sandwich. You know, it can be a chocolate or whatever you love. You know,
well, there's
whatever
no money
you find
to,
happy. Pardon?
There's no money in the budget for jewelry, but. It doesn't mean I can't appreciate beauty. And if there were someone bringing me half a sandwich and a chocolate to the couch, that would be the absolute best.
That would be what I'd be saying. Yes, I want the half a sandwich and some chocolate on the couch. Okay, well, you can go for a whole sandwich or maybe a half a sandwich and a cup of soup. You know, they have those specials at Subway.
Yeah, as
but
long
yeah,
as there's the right person bringing it, I'm there. I'm happy.
You're there, right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so your Progress Sun shifts in June, so let's see what happens then.
Absolutely. Thank
you. And who knows, you might have somebody bringing you something on your couch. Uranus gets to your first house that time, too, so that's usually a big, exciting relationship coming in. And natally, Uranus is in the third house, so somebody in the neighborhood, maybe.
Well, I keep thinking about, am I going to cut all my hair off, you know, because it's been dancing back and forth close to 21 Aries for a while, and, you know, it does it a little bit more. I think it really gets there at the end of 2016, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah.
I don't have, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a long journey this year, yeah.
Yeah,
so it's
back
good.
And forth.
Cool. Back and forth dancing and singing.
Singing and dancing all over the place.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care. Happy New Year.
Take care.
Hi, 530. We'll try and get one quick one in before the line is up. How are you? Who is it?
Hi, my name's Leah.
Hi, Leah.
Yeah.
How are you? Yep, I can
good.
Hear you. What's your question?
My birth date is June 26, 1959, born in Los Angeles, California.
Okay. Los Angeles, California. What time?
8:18 p.m.
8:18 p.m. And as you were saying your birthday, the British lady said something. So was it June 25th, 59, or June
26.
26. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And what's your question?
Well, I was pondering whether to go to massage school. I just got my license to be a personal trainer, and I've been doing massage, but not, I've been just doing it with donation, but I really love it. And I was wondering if it's a good time to do that or not.
Yeah, it is. You might have a little trouble with money because Jupiter's in your eighth house going backwards. So how are you planning on paying for it? Is that an issue or is that something else showing up?
It's not really
taxed.
An issue.
Okay.
But,
so you have a way to afford it, huh?
I do, but it's just the fact of I just started personal training. I was wondering if it's going to be too much to do both.
No, you're right. Having a really good year for getting a lot of stuff accomplished. And I, you know, the chart's really in the mood to kind of power through stuff. So I don't think it's a bad year for that. You have Mars on your midheaven, which says, I want to add to stuff. I want to contribute to, I want to add things to my pile of offerings. And Mars is going to station on your Jupiter in the 10th house. And when Jupiter is retrograde, it tends to be a good time to get stuff accomplished. And he's going to be back and forth for the next 9 months on your 10th house saying, I need this, I need this, I need this. And I think it's a good option with the Sun-Saturn opposition that tends to make you be very good at connecting. And I think ultimately, you know, you've got Hygieia in the 7th, which gives you a real healing ability. I wouldn't be surprised if you added Reiki to it, too, with the Pisces moon, because it's a good chart for Reiki. But I think the personal training is a good first career, meaning it got you, you know, you're doing it, and that's good. And I think adding things to it is always good, because your Capricorn rising wants to be a good, solid expert in things. And with the North Node active, this gives you the opportunity to kind of work and say, well, I train people, but I also understand the body, and I wouldn't be surprised if you added a little herbalism into this because of the Sun in the sixth house, understanding what people eat and how it affects them. So, yeah, and you're really having an excellent time to do all this, so I say go for it. It looks fun.
Okay.
And as long as you can afford it without it being too much of a cost. This is Jupiter's in Virgo tends to be a little bit tight financially, so it's not a great year for extra money, and it's kind of a year where you can feel strapped financially, or your clients can feel a little strapped. But it's a good time to definitely make that change. Yep.
Okay, so if I waited, so...
Well, you're in the mood to do it. You're in the mood to go and do it, so I'm not going to say wait. I'm just going to say just make sure, you know, like that you can afford it or that you've figured out the finances of it well. Because it can make you feel, this year can make you feel a little strapped.
So if I couldn't afford it, it wouldn't be a good time to do it?
No, it would be a time to do it, but go slower.
Okay.
You know, to take a couple courses rather than jumping in and doing like a big expensive program.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking. I was just trying to do a reflexology program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, reflexology works very well with your moon in Pisces.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
you've
got a good chart. You've got a good chart for being a healer. So and people need work in healing their bodies, and you've got a good chart for working with people one-on-one. So you're definitely going to
really
be in demand.
I've been really good at it. I've been looking for it by donation, but people are just saying that's the best massage I've ever had. And so I just was thinking I should get certified.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, I think you've got a really good chart for it. And, you know, because you're energy sensitive, you're going to really be able to work with their points, you know. So I like being a masseuse for your chart, and I like being, you know, I think it's opening up this whole new career for you. And
it
so
is.
Your job with Saturn up there at the top of your chart, it was kind of saying, well, okay, what's my vision for myself? And I need to kind of add to my toolkit, for lack of a better word. But because Jupiter's in the 8th, there can be a little bit of problem with funding. So as long as your money's good, I'd say go and do it. If your money's tight, I'd say do it slowly. But definitely full steam ahead.
All right. Thanks, Ann.
You're welcome. And have a good new
Happy
year.
Happy New Year. Okay.
Happy New Year. Okay. So the show is over, folks. We're done. Have a great New Year. Make sure you do a ritual this weekend on the new moon. Take care and have a great day. Bye. Or a great week, actually. Bye.